morning, everybody. I think it's caught. There it goes. Oh, good to see everybody today. You all look happy to be here. Gorgeous weather. Unfortunately, we're going back to more rain, but I enjoy it while you can. It's very nice out today, even though it is a little chilly. Are you guys keeping up with your Bible reading? Yeah, I didn't see hear much enthusiasm for that. Bonnie is. Yeah, I hope you guys are keeping up with it. I'm really excited about this next couple of weeks because my favorite book in the Bible is 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to be preaching for 1 Corinthians the next 3 weeks, so I'm really excited about that. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that we have this ability to come and worship you and fellowship with one another. We ask that you be with us, you be with those that are not here, and that you bring them back to us safely, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. I was reading Psalm 31 this week, and I had this thought that just kept popping up in my head over and over as I was reading this psalm, and it had to do with hate, love, and mercy. And I thought, personally, this spoke to me this week. I had a really rough week. Some of you probably even heard about it. So I'm not going to talk about it. It's not a big deal. If you want to ask me, you can. And I'll tell you. But it made me really, really angry. And I realized towards the end of the week, I can continue to be angry about what happened, or I can just move on. Because it doesn't help me in any way. The angrier I get, the more and more I tend to hate what's going on. And what kind of thing does that make me as a person? Well, it makes me a rather bitter person, and it makes me very effective and ineffective at what I do. And so when I was thinking about all of this, I came across this image that I knew as well. It was kind of, most of you have probably even seen this particular image. Have you guys seen this image before? No, maybe you haven't. That was Philip. Of course, Philip would not have seen this image. But this was probably the most powerful image of 2020. And some of you who are not familiar with what's going on in this picture, is this woman went into this man's brother's home and shot him. Killed him. And during the trial, she was found guilty. And the brother went up to her, hugged her, and said, "I forgive you." I mean, this man probably had every reason to hate this woman. Every reason to hate this woman. Because her brother did nothing wrong. Sorry, his brother did nothing wrong, not her brother. And I don't want to talk about the facts of the case because they're not really important to what I'm trying to say. It's that he still went up to her. He set aside his hatred and decided that, yeah, she wasn't going to escape the punishment for her crime, but he wasn't going to let that affect who he was as a person. Instead, he decided to show her love and mercy. And I thought, man, I wish more stuff like this was in the news. Because this is awesome. This is the society we should strive to be, especially who we should strive to be as Christians. But, unfortunately, we are humans, and we do tend to hate. Now, who do we hate? Why do we hate them? What do we hate? Well, first off, I want to be clear that I'm not talking about being angry. There are plenty of things that make us angry, but we don't necessarily hate those things. My children are very good at making me angry, but I do not hate my children. I get very, very frustrated with my children. There are things that I'm not talking about things you dislike. I hate onions. And that's not fair, because onions have never done anything to me except exist. Yeah, and taste the way they do, and have the texture that they have. I mean, I don't know how any of you can eat them. They're so disgusting. But it's unfair for me to say that I hate onions, because I just don't like them. There is a difference there. But hate is like this very strong emotion that drives from the inside of you that's probably not going to go away. And hate is normally caused by a horrendous grievance against you personally. Like, there are people who do terrible things in the world, and you might hate the things that they do, but you don't necessarily hate that person because it doesn't have anything to do with you at all. Sometimes we hate because we've been let down multiple times. This is often one of the reasons children hate their parents, is because their parents for some reason did not live up to their expectations, or maybe their parents were just horrible people. Or maybe you hate this person at work because they're constantly giving you stress. So I think when we read the stories this week, we saw this theme that was happening over and over again, that Saul, for some reason, hated David. And I know, though he doesn't say he hated David, I know it was hate. Because I can't think of any other reason why you would want to actively kill somebody other than the fact that you hate them. This wasn't a one-time thing. He tried multiple times to kill David. And so that's why I read this particular part of the section, this 1 through 4. David, it was causing him so much stress. And so you would expect that David himself would have hated Saul. But more on that later. So why did Saul hate David? Why? Well, we don't really know, but we have some good guesses about what's going on in Scripture. Saul obviously thought that David was a threat to his kingship. This is one of the things he says to his son Jonathan, that why are you defending him? He's going to take your kingdom. Jonathan was probably going to be king after Saul if the events did not happen the way that they happened. We also know that Saul was being tormented by a spirit. This we get from when David's playing the lyre, and Saul says it says he tormented spirit came upon him, and he threw the spear at him. While we don't know why exactly he was being tormented by the spirit, many of us understand that it probably has to do with the fact that Saul was no longer in the spirit of God. We also know Saul was incredibly jealous of David. And it was probably pretty hard not to be jealous of David when you've got songs out there that involve you and David. Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000. I think that would make me kind of mad. Especially if I had more power and authority over David. So for whatever reason that Saul hated David, he sought to kill him because of this desire that raged inside of him. And this struggle, I think, is very, very real for all of us. How many of you have ever said the phrase, I hate so-and-so? How many of you have ever said that? And how many of you are not raising your hand, but you've actually said it? Yes. It's that desire inside of us, that desire of the flesh it manifests into hatred. When we read Galatians chapter 5, we read about what the Spirit is. But it also says the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit operates in love. And as such, we know that the flesh is operating outside of love. It wants us to hate. And then it works inside of our brain. It gives us reason to hate by inflating our ego. You ever guys, whenever you get angry at someone, you think of all the reasons that you have a right to be angry at them? And you start to think of, man, they're terrible because they do this and this, and I'm going to do this, this, and this. And that makes you kind of feel better, doesn't it? This is one of the reasons that hate itself is so powerful, is because it fuels who you are. So next time, try exercising. Look how far you'll go. I hate exercising. No, I just like exercising. Exercise never did anything to me. But I also want to point out that one of the things that we often overlook when it comes to hate is how much we hate ourselves. And maybe it's because of our own failures, our own insecurities, or maybe our even our own fears or doubt. And so we look at ourselves and we just like,
I don't like who I am. But I want you to understand that this itself is also incompatible with the Spirit, as someone who is made in God's image. That we should not hate ourselves, but love who God made us to be. Now, the world has so much advice on how to overcome hate. Make changes, set boundaries, dwell on the positives. Figure out why you hate that person. Maybe it's like David. Maybe it's like David and Saul. You're just envious or jealous of that particular person. Or maybe someone taught you to be this way. You have nothing personal against that person, but your family does, or your culture does, and they say, you should hate them. You know what the problem with all of that is? Is it never seeks to go in the direction it's supposed to go. It always pushes you not to love, but to neutrality. And even sometimes, it justifies reasons to hate. And so we might say, yeah, okay, maybe I won't hate this person because they lied to me, but I will hate this person because they committed some of the most grievous, most horrendous crimes our society has to offer. But as that first picture illustrated, it doesn't have to be that way either. Because for Christians, we have a better way to overcome hate. And we do this by focusing first, not on the person, but on the sin itself. Because what were we all at one point? We were all sinners. We were all people of the flesh. We were all people who hated. And so by treating this person differently than what God treats us, we are focusing on what doesn't matter. And as 1 John says, we are walking in that darkness. But Jesus took it a step further. And he says, all right, you guys know, love your family, love your brother, love your friend. That's easy. But I'm going to tell you something even more. Love your enemy. He doesn't say hate your enemy. The hardest person to love is the person you think you have every reason to hate. This is the Bible's solution to hate. It's for us to love. Now, so let me go back a little bit. So we kind of define hate. Let's kind of define what love is. And again, I'm reading this passage in Psalm 31. And it says, people have all these reasons that we love, or the reasons we fall in love. Sometimes we do it because of intimacy, passion, commitment. Even some of those are negative. Being alone, social pressure, just time with the person. Maybe we want to be married. I want you to understand that our society has so many different kinds of love. And David illustrated a very good example of what isn't love. And that is his relationship with Bathsheba. David didn't love Bathsheba. Maybe he came to love her, but David lusted after Bathsheba. Now, I want to talk about the difference between love and lust here, because I think this is a really good story. The very first thing we learn about this woman is she was beautiful. That's the only thing David knows about her before he decides that he wants her. Not that she's a good person, not that she has a kind heart, not that she could be a good mom, but that because she is beautiful. And so he, at this point, he's already made up in his mind that he's going to have her. He finds out who she is. He sends for her, and they have sex. She goes away, and then he basically is like, "Okay, I've done what I want to do. You can leave now." That isn't love at all. And how do I know that's not love? Well, besides the obvious, is look at the consequences of his actions. He took something that he wasn't his, he coveted, he committed adultery, and I'm gonna put this all on him. Yes, I know it normally takes two people to commit adultery. In this case, I'm going to put it all on him, because he's the king, and she can't say no. He uses He tries to do what a lot of people do when they commit adultery. He tries to cover it up. And when that fails, he covers it up with an even worse crime. He has the husband killed. Is there anything in those statements that exemplifies love? Absolutely not. And David, as such, is going to be punished for this event. But we also see that there is somebody that David does love. David loved Jonathan. He had this close brotherly friendship. And this friendship is so strange because who's Jonathan's dad? Jonathan's dad is Saul. And what's Saul trying to do? He's trying to kill him. And so Jonathan himself is caught in this war between his best friend and his own family, and he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing. They're both trying to do what they think is the right thing. So they protect each other. They take care of each other. They love each other. Not in the physical way, but in the way that God intended all of us to do. Whether or not we have our disagreements, that they are still going to do the right thing because of that love they have in God. And that's bringing me to the next point. David loved God. And I think if anything illustrates how much God loves us, is anybody in this room not a sinner? David was the chief of sinners. I've already showed you what David did. He committed adultery, he committed murder. And I'm pretty sure he did quite a bit of other things that the Bible doesn't necessarily say. But the Bible says that David loved God, and David was a man after God's own heart. So God also loved David. And David loved God for all the right reasons. And this is when you read the Psalms, you're reading the reasons that David loves God are the exact same reasons that we ourselves should love God. So how do I reconcile this loving God, but also loving my enemy, loving the people I hate? So right now I'm going to quote. I was talking about this concept in the teen class on Wednesday. And Mary Joy, thank you Mary Joy, said this. She's like, hate makes us all dirty liars. Because what does John say in 1 John? He says, if you say, I love God, but hate your brother, you are a liar. Because you cannot love God who you have not seen if you don't love your brother who you have seen. Love brings mercy. But if you're not willing to offer your brother mercy, you are rejecting that love that God has given you, and you are going to receive no mercy yourselves. You are a liar if you continue to do that. And I think Revelation has a song about that, or we made a song about what Revelation says to liars. Yeah, I can't think of it. Revelation 21:8. Why are you still? Thank you, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it. So what is the product of love? The product of love is mercy. And David showed mercy. What does David do to the person who's trying to kill him? Does he seek to kill him first? I'm going to get you before you get me. No. In fact, the Bible illustrates not once, but twice, David had the opportunity to stop what was happening by getting him first. But David, while Saul was vulnerable, decided not to take advantage of that because he understood the importance of mercy. In fact, he understood it so much that he inconvenienced himself by moving to live with his other enemies. so it would not be a temptation for Saul. I can't imagine anybody doing that. But David, as terrible as he was, understood, one, you don't kill the Lord's anointed. But two, he needed mercy just as much as Saul did. And David received mercy from God multiple times. What does God say when David does those sins with Bathsheba? He says, you're going to be punished, but I'm not going to kill you. You're going to be punished because you deserve to be punished for what you did, but I'm not going to kill you, because God understood that David needed mercy. David didn't always show mercy, because like I said, you don't kill the Lord's anointed. But he understood what it meant to give mercy to those in need. Mercy is a thing I think we all struggle with. We struggle with it because of us. That flesh that lives inside of us. We think that because someone has wronged us in some way, that makes it okay to treat them differently than any other person. I can't think of anywhere in the Bible where it says that. Because it's not there. We have no right to treat someone differently, to reject them of that mercy, just because it is personal against us. How can I expect you to tell, how can I say to you, you need to give this person mercy, if I'm not willing to do the exact same thing? It's more than about being right. It's always about showing that kindness and love that God showed us. That we restore honor. You know that 2 Corinthians, that man who committed that a grievance, that sin against his father's wife? He's like, okay, it's time to stop punishing. It is now time to restore honor. You can always choose hate. It is up to you. Nobody can take that away from you. Not even, well, God could, but he's not going to. God's going to allow you to choose it if you want. But I want you to understand that hate will never be satisfied, and it will never satisfy you. It will just keep building inside, driving itself until you become that bitter, angry person. The only thing that God cares about is love. And he shows us love every single day. And the best way he shows that love is the mercy he's given us by sending his own son to die for us. How do we reflect that as Christians? We reflect that by showing the world mercy, extending it to others and saying, hey, God forgave me, let me also forgive you. If you guys would like to respond to this message in any way, or if you yourselves find that you are in need of mercy, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.